Well, as you are probably aware, it is an election year in America, and that means, well, could be a lot of volatility this year. At least that's the expectation. But we want to try to sort that out a little bit and talk with Tim about what this could mean for retirement planning, what does it mean for your investments, and what elections is he paying attention to this upcoming year. It's all coming up.
When it comes to your finances, you don't want to be at a disadvantage. Tim Dyer can help. He's a wealth manager specializing in retirement planning and investment management, and he can be that financial coach that helps you achieve your goals in retirement. This is Retirement Power Play.
Welcome into the Retirement Power Play podcast. Tim, we usually probably put politics into the penalty box, right? But I think we have to talk about them this year, don't we?
Yeah, this is one of those years, right? It's a hot topic, and we just did a masterclass on it last night. So, you know, a couple of issues that I think investors or people that have are retired or approaching retirement need to consider. There's a couple of things that I think we need to keep an eye out. So it's probably not a bad thing to cover that in our episode today.
Yeah, we're going to run through that stuff today. If you have questions or want to get more information on upcoming masterclasses that Tim puts together, you can always get in touch at 858-459-3937. But the focus today is all about the upcoming election, not just the presidential election, but the other elections, Senate and House. They also will have an impact as well on things. So, Tim, let's just jump in. What kind of are you paying attention to most right now as we get into this? Like, what's most important in your world of wealth management and investment management?
Yeah, so first of all, there's a couple of things to say. I want to start the show off by saying whenever we talk about this type of issue, maybe sometimes it can get a little thorny and maybe somebody agrees or disagrees, or the information that we're providing here isn't designed to upset anybody or make anybody angry. But if we do by some chance, I'll try to do it equally on both sides.
Fair enough.
I think that is, in a way, that's kind of the point, in that there are a lot of different ways this election Plinko chip can work, right? It can bounce away, land in a lot of different spots. But that isn't necessarily what matters. What matters is how the market and economy reacts to that news. So, you know, look, I'll just get the obvious stuff out of the way. We're really down to essentially our binary choices, right? I mean, Biden is the nominee for the Democrats and Trump for the Republicans. This is well known. It's been sort of well forecasted for a while. And so we don't need to spend a lot of time there. Now, they, just to be clear, they actually get formally nominated at their conventions in the summer. But, you know, we don't need to spend any more time on that. It's going to be these two. On the Biden side of things, you know, the issues that are going to come up are, you know, where are we with the economy? And this is kind of another point I want to make. I really firmly believe that this is going to be, you know, an economic election, right? I think it's a battle of the wallets, I guess you could call it. Because I think that's what people are going to be voting for. The things that you hear out there are, hey, you know, I was in a better shape then. Or some people say, you know, I'm in better shape now, whatever that might be. But I think some of the, and this all could change, but some of the macro, maybe the political issues overseas, things like gun control, abortion, they're all very hotly contested topics. But that isn't what's going to necessarily be the big swing in the elections this year. So anyways, just to kind of finish out on the candidates, you know, Biden's got some challenges proving that he can take this economy kind of to the next level, you know, barring any kind of major health issue and, you know, some things maybe with the Hunter Biden allegations, you know, those could kind of weigh on him a little bit. But on the same token, if the Fed here between now and then actually does cut interest rates and we see the economy pick up a little bit, you know, he could probably use that as a little bit of momentum into the election November. But ironically, the biggest issue that Biden has is something that he can't control, and that's his age, right?
Yeah. And
when we talk about that, we've got to be fair. I mean, Biden's the oldest president we've had, but guess who's the second oldest president we've ever had?
Trump.
It's Trump, right? Trump's got to deal with his legal woes, and that could go a couple of different directions. But he's running a different campaign, surprisingly. I mean, you know, it's been slightly more professional. And again, it's all relative here. But depending on what happens with, say, Fulton County, Georgia, and some of the legal things down there, the Supreme Court gets involved. We kind of know the cards are on the table for both, right? We don't see a lot of surprises coming out of either camp. But I tell you what is surprising, Ben, and I don't know if you've seen anything in the news about this, is there's a certain amount of politicians that have said, look, if we've got this default election, if you will, right, the race that nobody wanted, the lesser of two evils, is this the best we have, that kind of thing. There's been talk about a unity ticket, right? And the chat around that has been this sort of no-label party. Where you might see a Republican like Liz Cheney run with a Democrat like Joe Manchin. Now, I don't need all the hate mail or anything saying, look, Liz Cheney's not a Republican and Joe Manchin's not a Democrat. But, you know, the point is one person from each ticket. And I've seen polls that have said that could take 10 or 15% of the vote, which we don't even know which side that would come from. So there is a little variable there. When it comes to that. But had you heard of that? You know, the thought that we might have a...
I feel like I hear that sometimes going into these elections, like that's a possibility, but I just feel like it never materializes. And I don't feel like it's given enough, like it doesn't have enough of a chance for people that are so passionate about one side or the other to actually leave that vote and move to the middle, where I think a lot more people probably stand now than did 10 years ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, I kind of think of like the Bernie Sanders stuff from before, right? Where you've got this sort of third person that's in there and people are like, you know, do we need some change? And it seems radical, but it can cannibalize the votes from one side. So that's really kind of the bigger issue that's around it. But, you know, again, it's going to be interesting to see if that actually does emerge. I mean, Manchin's already said that he's going to step down, his seat and retire. Which is he leading towards a last minute presidential bid? We'll see. But if we just take it one little step further here, we think about the Senate and the House. The Senate, I think it's got 33 seats up. For election, the Senate, you've got 100 senators, and about a third every 2 years get elected to 6-year terms. And what's interesting is every class is kind of different. Now, in this particular election, the Democrats have to defend 23 seats. Three of those are in states that Trump won, and five of them are in states that Biden won by a very small margin, like less than 3%. Whereas the Republicans are defending 12 states, and it's not in one state that Biden won. It's all in Trump state. So there's a clear advantage in the Senate, potentially, for Republicans. Now, you've got 49 Republican senators right now. You don't need really a big swing for the Republicans to, you know, take over the Senate. But, you know, anything can happen. We'll see. The other thing, if we go over to the House, there's, 435 or something that are up for vote. 18 Republicans in Biden districts and 5 Democrats in Trump districts, right? That was a note that I had. And so if the Republicans struggle in Biden districts and the Dems struggle in Trump districts, that's advantage Democrats, right? Potentially, you know, 13 swings there. Although Republicans still have a 222 to 213 advantage of the House. But I think I saw a statistic the other day. I think it was First Trust that put it out. In election years, in a presidential election year, the House of Representatives since 1950 has never flipped from what it is in presidential election years. Yeah. I thought that was amazing. I'm like, really? Never? Not once, right? I mean, it flips, but it's usually not in a presidential election year. So you would think advantage Republicans there, right? Because they've got the House right now. The difference being, well, we've got everybody that's sort of changing the maps. And historically, this sort of realigning of districts, again, historically, has helped Democrats. So all of this comes down to the point of White House, Senate, and Congress, right? Or, you know, the House of Representatives. You know, they're it isn't so much who's in control. It just becomes what are the policies and how are they going to tackle some of the fiscal issues that exist out there, you know, with our federal budget. I think that's one thing that is just the big elephant in the room. So I can get off on a little tangent here. I kind of want to bring it back. One of the things to consider, though, is like, all right, well, what does that mean for stocks? You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is your thought? Just if you're thinking about us being an election year or even right after, what potentially, I don't know, what do you think the consensus is?
Well, I think people fear that the market's going to react. I mean, whatever side you're on, you feel like, oh, if the other side wins, it's bad news. And, you know, the market will reflect that. But from what I think what I've read and heard, that the market tends to perform pretty well during election years, right? Even despite even years like this where there is a lot of tension, right? There are strict lines drawn, but for the most part, the market does well. But also, it doesn't truly matter who's in office, right?
Yeah, it really doesn't. BlackRock put a piece out, and I think we could probably put it in the show notes later, but it just shows, you know, a chart and shows, well, we've all seen the S&P chart that goes back 100 years, right? I mean, it goes up. And what is it? There's been 24 election cycles, I think, since the S&P came out, and 20 of them are positive, right? And so that's a pretty good number, right?
Yeah.
What is that, 80-something percent?
Yep.
But bigger picture, it when you look at that chart of the S&P going from the lower left to the upper right, there's all kinds of things that happen along the way, but that's still a long-term trend up. And then you could just color in underneath that, which, you know, party administration was in control or in office, if you will, during each fit, you know, and it just kind of all worked itself out. I know that in a presidential year, when a Republican was elected, the average return's been about 15%, if you will. This is coming from First Trust Research. In an election year, presidential election year, when a Democrat was elected, the market returned 8.5%. And then when we take all election years, the average return since 1928 is 11.58%. And that's the takeaway, right? Is that, you know, markets are adjusting to the optimism of whatever administration is or changes are going to be in place, right? There's usually problems that may or may not be hindering the market directly, right? And those problems are getting addressed in some way, shape, or form, right? It may cause a bigger problem somewhere else, but you know, we don't need to take our ball and go home and say, well, I think a Republican's going to get in, I'm going to, you know, take all my money out of the market, or a Democrat's getting in and I'm moving all my money to cash because I don't know what's going to happen. That's just historically not been a wise decision, right? So I always say that you want to stay invested regardless of the administration, but I had the caveat, only after your portfolio is aligned with your objectives, right? Don't just stay invested, you know, because of history. You got to make sure that the portfolio aligns with what you need and then accept the plan and then stay invested. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. These questions come up a lot with people you work with, Tim. Are they concerned about the upcoming year?
You know, I don't want to go into a lot of the social issues, if you will, because I don't get a lot of comments on that. It's sort of like, you know, well, the tax cuts of the Trump era, the Tax Cuts and Job Act in 2017, it cut tax rates across the board. But in order to get those passed, they had to have a sunset provision. Basically, what that means is it doesn't take a law for those tax cuts to expire and revert or sunset back to where they were in 2016, right? It's kind of a tricky way that politicians get to use it, so they don't have to say, oh, tax rates are going back up or going up to where they were. Oh, no, they're just sunsetting. Like, what is that really? It's a tax hike, right? But it's just a planned one. So that is going to be a big thing, right? When you think about, I mean, there's a 30% chance that you get a Republican sweep, White House, Senate, and House of Representatives, right? The House. If you get that Republican sweep, then you're probably going to see legislation actually enacted potentially that says, hey, we're going to keep these tax cuts intact and we're going to reverse the sunsetting back to the old rates. Make sense?
Yeah.
If Democrats sweep, which is about a 20% potential, that they'll probably, you know, obviously let them expire. We'll go back to the higher rates, and we may even see some additional tax hikes from there, whether it's on corporations or estate tax or whatever that might be. But 30 plus 20, that's 50. That's only half, right? So there's a 50% chance that we get some form of mixed government, the House, the Senate, you know, any combination of that, right? Once taxes are on the table, anything's on the table, right? So that's why it's important, because it is going to affect people's wallets. Again, there's some timelines in the next year and a half of some tax discounts that you need to be looking at, right? At least kind of getting an analysis. Maybe that's a Roth conversion. Maybe looking at if you have a major sale, you're thinking about selling a property, maybe it makes some sense, you know, the next year or two to do that. Now, the tax cuts may get extended potentially, but if it does, then you just have more time to take advantage of the taxes. But it still doesn't mean that taking advantage of them now is necessarily a bad thing. So yeah, we can certainly dig a lot deeper into some of those things. But I think the key takeaway, Ben, is for people not to lose a lot of sleep over, you know, the divisiveness, right? It's really to just think, okay, where are we from a tax perspective? I think that's the one thing that you can kind of control going into it and make some decisions around that. So that's what we're certainly looking at as it comes, as this election gets near and near.
Well, again, if you are concerned or just want to try to see if you need to position yourself differently in the next 6, 8, 12 months, you can always get in touch with Tim at Dyer Wealth Management. It's 858-459-3937. And sit down and talk with Tim about this. Is this something, Tim, that's worth a conversation with you if somebody's concerned or just maybe unsettled about what's to come?
Yeah, I think so. There's the initial issues that we talk about, and everybody has their own questions from kind of where their vantage point is or where they are in the country and the items that apply to them directly. But, you know, look, if getting having a conversation about it at a minimum eases some concerns that you might have, then, you know, that's a good thing and being in a better spot. So we're happy to chat about it. That's what we do every day.
All right, again, 858-459-3937, or find all of our podcasts online at retirementpowerplaypodcast.com. Tim, thanks for the time. Looking forward to the upcoming year, and I'm sure we might have some things to address later on as elections get settled. But for now, we'll push forward.
Oh, I'm sending you a Costco-sized box of Orville Redenbacher popcorn, okay? And we'll just, like,
no doubt,
sit back and enjoy it with our family as we watch this thing unfold. God bless America, and God bless everyone out there.
The commentary on this podcast reflects the personal opinions, viewpoints, and analyses of Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, DBA Dyer Wealth Management employees making such comment and should not be regarded as a description of advisory services provided by Dyer Wealth Management or performance returns of any Dyer Wealth Management Investments client. The views reflected in the commentary are subject to change at any time without notice. The opinions expressed in this podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referred for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Dyer Wealth Management provides advisory services through Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Dyer Wealth Management and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by Dyer Wealth Management unless a client service agreement is in place.